The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. I am just going to roll with it. How you doing, Mr. Dusty?
Hey, that's what we're doing this week. We're rolling with it. I have absolutely nothing of import to talk about, and we're going to talk about it for 45, 50 minutes. So I'm excited.
I suppose it could be 45, 50 minutes. I really have no concern about how this... How lengthy this thing gets.
I could care less if it lasts 5 seconds, you know?
Well,
I don't know. I'm just going to wing it here.
Well, only lasting 5 minutes, might say we were cutting it short. There was something about Axemen that you wanted to talk about.
Excellent cutting, yes. Oh, we were talking off the air about ratings. You messaged me with a compilation of the top 25 cable shows for the week ending on May the 20th, and from zap2it.com, a website I didn't know about, but I'm going to bookmark it because that's pretty cool. It's got all the ratings on there. And a show I never heard of is ranked 19th and 20th for two different airings on Sunday on the History Channel, and it is Axemen. And I was asking, what exactly is Axemen? Because it sounds interesting. I guess these are Pacific Northwest Paul Bunyan guys. And I was making the comment that that is a profession I could never do, because I guarantee you I'd chop off appendages. Absolutely would lose a finger or a foot or something. So.
Yeah, no, I did okay. There were a couple of occasions. Now, I did not do anything that the Axemen would deal with. What I used the chainsaw for, they would probably laugh at me.
Okay.
But while running the lawn service, I never chopped off any body parts. It really even came close to it when I used the chainsaw there. So,
sure, okay.
You know, there was that positive. I think I injured myself more when I was cutting pieces for a model in studio. Because I think I flattened out one of my fingers, which was kind of fun.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, when you're working with a sharp object and you haven't slept for 48 or more hours sometimes, it's really not advisable to be using sharp objects. But in order to finish your project, sometimes you did such stupid
things.
You got to
do it, yep. are not... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, building models just, it consumes time. Like, there's nothing all that, to me, it's not all that complicated, really. It's just, it's just a grind to do stuff.
Yep. I grew up with that. My dad does a lot of that. He has a large collection of those. Yep.
What, did he do, like, cars or anything? Did he do anything specific?
Yeah, he likes cars, so it's a lot of old cars and stuff.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm half surprised that my dad will collect trains, but he doesn't really, he isn't a builder.
Okay.
Because he has his train set from 52 that he, that was his main train set.
Oh, that's cool, so, though.
Yeah, it's a Lionel train. Like, I wouldn't know what to do if we went back. And it now it has a whole room dedicated to itself at this juncture.
Yeah.
But it always got put up at Christmas.
Now,
so,
I work with scheduling shipments. The place I work, we produce inserts for newspapers, and we also do a lot of magazines and stuff like that. And I have to schedule the shipments for the newsstand materials. And we do some railroads every week, and they're weird to schedule. They're different than a regular truck shipment, obviously. And it never fails. Like, every week or two, there's a derailment. And I was always, I can't help but think about derailments when you talk about trains. Like, I've never seen a train derail. I wonder what it would look like, you know? And what the damage would be. So.
Yeah, no, Altoona is a big railroad town. I mean, my dad grew up in Pittsburgh, but... You know, that was kind of the place, and I honestly don't remember anything derailing just you know, that easily, but it really should have. It was still pretty crazy. There were still a lot of trains being run when I was younger, so.
But I'm always getting emails in my inbox like, oh, this train derailed yesterday, and now we have to recover the material. It sounds like such a headache, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with any of that. You know,
yeah, that's kind of crazy that it happens that often.
It happens quite frequently. It's a couple times a month. I wouldn't have thought it would be that frequent, but... apparently we deal with faulty train people. I don't know what it is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Anywho, I guess to get off the train topic a little bit.
One quick question. You've worked with chainsaws. Have you ever worked with steel needles? Have you ever taken a 15, 18-inch long steel needle and plunged it into somebody's eyes?
No, I have. I have not done that.
I threw that in there to see if somebody was listening. That's a super inside joke for one person. So now, go ahead.
Oh, okay, excellent. Yeah. What the hell? Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I think you started to explain it there earlier, which was the whole idea. Both of us, I think, as we've stated the last couple of weeks here. That we're not exactly high on the product at this current moment. So we're trying to find other topics. And this week, last night I'm watching the show, and they said that they had more interaction than and the one that I remembered was Game of Thrones, and they had two other shows that are fairly popular listed there.
Okay.
Before
we get too far into it, what do they mean by interaction? Do they mean, like, discussion online, that kind of thing?
I believe that's what they were getting at, because they didn't say Twitter alone. They said, I believe it was a fan interaction. And that's it's kind of weird to, like, I don't know. I guess I didn't try to Google search if that is actually a topic.
Sure. Like, what's trending on Google search? That kind of thing.
Only that, but to see what shows the WWE compared itself to.
This is one thing that kind of got me. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I only have the one name, but and that's why I pulled up the ratings then. To check out, to see how close Game of Thrones was to the WWE entertainment as it's put.
It's pretty darn close.
That's it. I was surprised because this site that we mentioned here is going by the millions of viewers. So we go, Game of Thrones is 3.864. And yep. then the WWE, and it looks like the later portion of it got the higher rating here this week. They have 4.321. So we're talking about 500,000 people or so is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and with the first hour, we're talking about 200,000. So it's 200,000 and about 500,000.
Right. Yeah,
just
no,
so we
I
have
guess
the
that
numbers.
Is,
so, yeah.
I guess that is kind of important. Do you think that gap in viewership amount is, do you think it's significant enough to put a dent in how much more highly rated the WWE stuff would be?
Not really. And as I was saying to you off air, it's a totally different audience. I don't think WWE is slicing into Game of Thrones' audience too much. So it's not a totally fair comparison, you know?
Right.
These are more sports fans. You should be comparing yourself to the basketball games. Oh, by the way, the entire top 10 on this list is basketball games. So maybe you don't want to compare yourself to the basketball games. They're beating you. But,
that's probably a reason why not to compare themselves.
Yeah, right. And there was indeed, there was a game on Monday night, the Lakers in Oklahoma City. So that would be the apples-to-apples comparison, except they can't make that comparison. So instead they have to pick on the little guy. And we get an apples-to-oranges type of thing, which is kind of, it's just weird, really.
Well, first of all,
it's not that significant of a win either. So.
It's only, you've always got to try to make yourself look good, even if you're being deceptive about about the facts that you're picking.
Yep, right.
I don't know. I mean, do you think this is just almost crazy, too. That's because you were talking about the Monday night one that basically aired at the same time.
Yeah. Mhm.
And what? Yeah, we got 6.687 million viewers for that. So yeah, like an extra 2 million people. I would imagine that there is definitely going to be more interaction. That's a pretty substantial gap.
Exactly. So I bet if you looked at the Twitter numbers or whatever, more people are talking Kobe or whatever than are talking wrestling. So, you know, for example.
Yeah. No. That makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess you kind of touched on it too. Even if the rating is higher, does it really matter if there is less talk on Twitter about that same Oklahoma Lakers game?
I mean, yeah, more people are away from their computer because they're busy watching the show they want to watch. I think this number is more indicative of what's good, or not what's good, but what interests people. I immediately take back the what's good statement because the top-rated non-sports show on here is Swamp People, which is decidedly not good. But people like to watch. So.
Yeah, I have not ever watched it, but I'm sure that... much like we found entertainment with Billy the Exterminator when we were just in between things at WrestleMania last year, I'm sure that would be good to mock for an hour or two and then be on my merry way.
It's funny if you look at it from that perspective, but not something you want to make a habit out of watching. So.
Yeah, no, that's that I could agree with that. Before he goes platinum, Nickelodeon. What the shit is that?
It's on Nickelodeon. I don't watch Nickelodeon anymore. I used to watch it all the time.
Right.
The level of cartoons they had on there got progressively worse over the years. You know, like Doug, to me, is an excellent A-quality cartoon. And well, that went off the air and was replaced by, like, B-level cartoons. And now we're probably down to C-minus cartoons, you know. It's maybe a part of it is me getting older and more crotchety. I don't know. But back in my day, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know when Tori Goes Platinum is, but I assume it's either a cartoon probably or else an early teen kind of show, you know, something like
right.
that, I would imagine. Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't matter if there is more interaction. If it doesn't
no.
matter if there's much interaction, you know, on the web,
yeah.
Why is it such a big deal, I guess, to them?
Somebody got it in Vince's head that's what's important. You know, Vince always goes on these tangents, and it's impossible. Like, like you spin Vince in a direction, and he will keep walking in that direction no matter how many cliffs he falls off of. Look at what happened in the mid-90s. He was still doing the same formula from the late 80s until somebody spinned him in the hardcore direction, and then he went all the way that way. So somebody got in his ear and said, hey, kids are on Twitter. It's important that people talk about us on Twitter. And that's the direction he's going in now. And it's going to be impossible to get him out of that until somebody else gets his ear. And who the hell knows how it happens? And just, it's so random and weird with him, just like everything else he does. So.
It is kind of wild. I mean, I guess, you know, is there any reason why, like, and I guess in kind of not going to Game of Thrones, but, like, for me, like, I mean, there are other programs that I guess I could tweet about if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't feel the need for some reason or another. I mean, I guess part of it's the fact that we run the website. But
yeah.
There are a lot of people that we follow at Stunt Granny there that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't have their own site or anything, but they're still on there interacting during
yeah.
the show.
Yep.
Okay, now that it doesn't do anything, do you think there's a reason why people do want to do that, though, more often? Like, I don't feel any need to start tweeting about, to me, Game of Thrones would compare to something like Justified. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, highly thought of, probably has a smallish audience, but, you know,
yeah.
is known to be really good. And, like, I don't feel the need to go, oh, I really thought Raylan was good this week.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out why it is that a lot of people do this then.
I don't know. Is it competition-based things make people more interested? People like picking their favorites out of things. Maybe American Idol is sort of the same way, you know?
Oh, gotcha. Like
that,
some other
that kind of
that
thing. Yeah, you know, I like Seamus, so I'm going to tweet about him whenever he does something. You know, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm just spitballing here. I don't have a good answer. I don't understand people. So.
Yeah, no, I don't. And I guess I didn't. I thought about making questions, but I didn't think about my own answers, honestly.
Well, thanks.
Like, oh no, fuck! I'll leave the heavy lifting to Dusty. Screw him.
Yeah. Oh, all right. whatever.
No, but well, like I said, though, like I just don't feel the need to do it. But even before we ran the site or something, I mean, I just remember going to the message board. And, I mean, I know that I was even kind of a late joiner in that department. But, you know, we'd all go to the message boards and just throw things in about Raw before we were running the site, really.
Yeah, people just like interacting, you know, with certain things, you know. Like, I don't know, you can talk to your friends about it as it's happening. I don't know that there is that kind of ability with a regular TV show. You don't see people doing it with SpongeBob, really. Oh my God, you got to turn on SpongeBob, you know. I don't see that happening as much. So.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just because, to me, in some ways, you don't have to pay as much attention.
Yeah.
Not when you're not with the typing, but like it's pretty easy to get through an episode of Raw rather than like to me, like when I do watch Justified, just to stick with it. I don't feel like doing anything else. Like, I feel like if I start even doing something dumb like playing Facebook games, it's like I miss something little. That kind of, well, not kind of, that sometimes will be important later in the show.
Okay.
And, like, wrestling to me doesn't, even if it's well done, like, if there isn't a time that I go, oh, wow, I really missed something earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I don't think it's ever really done that. Like, I mean, I obviously didn't think about it on this kind of a level when I was watching when I was a kid.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there isn't anything all that complicated. It wasn't complicated then. It's not complicated now. And to me, that makes it easier to talk during.
Okay.
And like you, I'm just kind of throwing shit out there. Like, I can maybe look down for 5 seconds, and it doesn't really do anything.
Right. With wrestling, they show everything all over again anyway. So much of it is what just happened, you know.
Well, right.
So it doesn't bang strict attention.
Yeah, no, even with more and more of these shows doing the, like, because they always do on the last episode, and it drives me bananas. But then when, like, every show that is on TV does that, it's just like, okay, I guess I have to sit through this. Can we get just, like, an extra minute of programming here? I mean, am I asking too much? But, yeah, you're certainly right. Like, you can just completely, like, zone out sometimes. It's just like, oh, whatever, they're going to show a replay of that again.
Yeah, you can miss whole segments. It's not even a big deal. And shame on them for that, because it should be. Everything they do should be important. And it's simply not.
Yeah, and it's, well, and part of it, too, certainly plays into, what things will happen tomorrow here with our WWE roster game to me is that...
Oh, you mean we're going to be recording a special audio tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, we will be.
That people should listen to? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Well, I was just going to slip it in for now and then really go for it later.
I'm going to dwell on it because I'm an asshole. Go ahead.
No, I think it's probably better to just go with it instead of being coy. they certainly, you know, I think for a long time that we haven't done it with the WWE because it seemed like they used their talent, despite the fact that the brand split was never official.
No.
Right now, it is beyond non-existent, honestly. They're kind of back to the, we're just going to throw the good guys on, and, like, there's going to be a change-up of maybe, like, three or four segments that don't have the same guys in it.
Yep.
And, you know, showing all those replays, it's just like, you guys, they're at that point where they have so many replays, and SmackDown's especially bad, but
terrible.
It's just like, why don't some of these guys have, you know, get TV time? You can at least find out if they're good or not. Like, that is the worst thing that happens. It's just like, yep, another shitty gimmick. Go ahead and put somebody else in that slot.
Maybe I'm wrong here, but the way I see it, there's almost no mid-card whatsoever. The guys that they're really trying to go out of their way to push, like a Brodus Clay or a Ryback, for fuck's sake, they end up beating people who aren't used at all in any way whatsoever. So the wins don't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything for Ryback to beat, like, Yoshitatsu or whoever the fuck he's beating, you know?
Right.
But they could give those guys, like, a couple minutes of TV time and establish them and establish their characters and then have Ryback beat them, and then it means a little bit. And I don't understand why they don't do that. And what we get is a thing where nobody gets over in any sort of meaningful way except the people who are already over.
Yeah, and then, because that's it, I keep on, and I've just kind of resigned myself to it at this juncture. The one guy that kind of was in the mid-card there, he might have been in the upper class in the mid-card, my boy, Dolph Ziggler.
Sure.
He's just nowhere now.
Yeah.
He's in
he was getting towards something, and then they just stopped. It just fizzled.
Yeah. It's like, nah, you're not really good enough.
Right.
Never mind.
And that couldn't be farther from the truth, by the way. He is good enough. He's excellent. He's really rounded himself into something. And it's a shame
that
he didn't recognize it.
That was kind of the strangest thing out of that whole ordeal. It's just like, what am I... Hold on, what did he do? Nothing? Okay, he didn't do anything wrong. Okay, I'm not crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm. She's a gigantic asshole behind the scenes or something. But you would have heard about that.
Yeah, one would have thought, even with his protective as they are, if it's something bad that happens in the back, it's pretty well... spoken for.
Exactly. No, I think this guy is a model citizen, and I think he works really hard to improve himself, and I think his talent level is higher than most, and it's a shame. It's a shame they don't see it. Apparently don't see it. Or else they would care enough to, you know, boost him up a little bit.
Right, and I guess another guy that really isn't my boy, but Cody Rhodes is kind of in that area now, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He starts going somewhere, and then all of a sudden, oh, you know what? You did a really, really good job. You were a real asshole heading into WrestleMania. You know, you did your job.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll keep you going in this direction. Oh, no, no, no. We were just kidding. We're going to completely kill your character now.
Right. It was just starting to click, man. It was just starting to get somewhere, and he was improving, and he was wearing knee pads, and I don't know.
Yeah. No, it was it's a real head scratcher as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Like I said, I may not be his biggest fan, but man, he really seemed to be doing something. He was starting to win me over.
Yeah. Do you think this just came to me? Because the stories are legendary from the late 90s WCW, where people like Hogan and Nash would hold these guys down the minute they started to feel something. It's why Chris Jericho left for WWF in the first place. Do you think people like Cena are working behind the scenes to put the kibosh on these guys? Is that what's happening?
I don't know. Like, because, and the one thing, and it gets to be kind of hard, because you see a guy like CM Punk and now Daniel Bryan, who to me is more surprising in a way.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it seemed, it seemed like when Punk came from ROH, at least from what I'd heard, and I don't really, you know, I didn't really see it personally, or at least very much of it, everyone seemed to think that he had the whole package.
Yes, agreed.
So it's just like, okay, he didn't really have anything to do except to kind of fit in the culture, I suppose. Which I suppose may have been a hard thing to do.
Right.
But Brian had to do that, really, and become more entertaining from, and again, same thing. I didn't really see it that much, but as a general whole, people seem to say, hey, he isn't that good on the mic. And, like, he didn't even seem that great at first on NXT.
Right. More subtle than anything, you know. He's got a more understated kind of charisma.
Oh, what he's going with now?
WWE's not really big on subtlety in any way whatsoever, so he had a lot of hurdles to jump over, and it's really kind of amazing that he has.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's amazing because he sucks. I'm saying it's amazing because of the structure WWE works in.
I completely agree with you there. And that's why it's kind of weird, because you're like, how did these two get that bump up? And, like, again, like Ziggler and Rhodes were getting probably an equal amount of boos that those two guys were getting cheers and or boos, I guess. Because both of them have kind of flip-flopped a little bit.
and if you look at it, Rhodes would seem to be much more along the lines of what WWE wants, because he's a second-generation guy, and they can do the Dusty Rhodes stuff and all that. And Ziggler is much more what WWE wants, because he looks like Billy Gunn, and God knows WWE tapped that well for 10 years. So these are much more in line with what WWE would seemingly want. So it's really mystifying.
Yeah, that is an additional point that makes it even more of a head scratch. It's just like, especially Ziggler, like the one thing I'd always kind of, I shouldn't even say complain about, when I started to like Rhodes, I still kept on saying, you know what, his size is just going to be a problem, but I'd go right back to Punk and Brian at that point, too. They aren't exactly the biggest guys.
Right.
So,
For whatever reason, Punk looks normal size on TV. You can tell he's a little bit smaller, but Brian looks tiny, you know? Since when do they push these tiny guys that are so obviously tiny? The only one I can think of is, like, Rey Mysterio, and he has, like, he had the Eddie thing, and he had, you know, the Mexican thing. He could, a lot of people, a lot of Mexicans watch the SmackDown more. So he had some other factors at play that Bryan didn't have. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm struggling to come up with a good answer. I just don't have one.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only guy that would have been before that, honestly, it would be a trainer there of Daniel Bryan would be Shawn Michaels. But
okay.
Even his undersize, though, to me, is because, like, even when he was smaller, he was still kind of closer to CM Punk's size.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, for most people being, I don't know what they list him at now. I think it's still 220 or something in that area.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine, you know, packing on another 40 pounds, honestly.
No.
Just
not
to do
with the Davey Boy Smith way. Completely unnaturally.
Yeah, no, it probably would not be for the best if I did that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, okay. No, I just realized that we're in some way different territory than we started out with.
Sure. That always happens when I do audio. You should know that by now.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Underside. Oh yeah, because we all went off on the tangent of the roster game there.
Yeah. A sneak preview of what you'll get tomorrow night.
Well, it is even. Well, yeah, it is kind of a sneak preview, I suppose.
Like, whatever.
We're giving away our picks, Dusty.
I'm just shamelessly plugging. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh man, yeah, it's still, yeah, it's really kind of baffling there. What things that they do, and I mean, I guess that's always the part that makes me second guess myself when I'm ripping on them. It's just like, what big chunk am I missing that doesn't, you know, what am I missing? And
right,
you know, it's just like, why am I missing it too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the whole, because as much, and I guess I could tie this into the whole, as much as they like the interaction, you know, the social interaction, they don't like the social interaction when it comes to how their interviews are conducted, you know, outside of the WWE.
Okay.
You know, it's just, they wouldn't ever let a dirt sheet interview one of their wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, well, why wouldn't you allow that? Like, it's kind of, to me,
right.
It's kind of funny that, you know, oh, yeah, we're touting social interaction, but, oh, these people that really want to talk to us, we're not going to talk to them.
Those guys are off limits, yeah. Even though you could obviously just control what information gets out there, you know?
I mean, right.
Really, the ball is in your court. I don't know why they're so paranoid about it or whatever.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny. Oh, my God. Okay, I mixed it up with watching the game. Some guy just got tripped, and it looked quite amusing. I'm not sure how they're working it out. It's kind of, I guess that's kind of an interesting side note to the whole social interaction thing.
Yeah.
You know, their control over all of their news that comes out through their website. Because
that
is another factoid that they love to put up there. Oh, we got more visits than NFL.com. And,
right.
And I guess if we go back also, yeah, to the whole sports thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, it's just like, I don't really ever go to NFL.com.
Right.
Like, I get my NFL news.
That's such a saturated market because there's so many sports websites. You know?
Yeah.
Just a million different places you can get NFL news. So, yeah, again, they're just, it's disingenuous, and it's kind of apples and oranges. But, of course, they'll do it because it makes them, it sounds good, you know, when they're saying it. Oh, you know, I guess they're great, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, no,
that's...
Huh?
It just kind of bothers me how they do it.
Yeah. Just like any good politician, they... They find a way around things.
Just like Gerald Ford. So...
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't really... And I don't know if I have any other thoughts on the whole thing, to be honest with you.
Well, I apologize. I didn't really have any good answers there. I was just a whole bunch of I don't know. So I don't know how good of audio that makes, but...
Oh, well, I was just going to ask if there is anything else that is on the dusty plate that might be brought up.
I don't know. I mean, do you want to go through Raw or in the pay-per-view, or are we not even interested in that? Because I'm not. You know,
I'm not all that interested, and we're right around the 40-minute mark or so here, too.
Sure.
I mean.
Yeah,
I don't care. We're going bonanza tomorrow with the what was that? Oh, the roster game for the WWE. So
yeah.
You know, that would be fine if I said I'm gonna go grab a sippy time beer, and I'll let you sign off.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFrango, for Ace reporter on the scene, Hal Levenstein. This is Dusty Giebink. This has been Stunt Granny Audio number one. And we'll try to do better next time.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?